Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The final international break before the Euros is over. So let's look at the current state of play for England. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. It's the Euros this summer. We're only a few months away and we're very excited, of course. But it wouldn't be a major tournament without Lions Watch now, would it? So in just over a month's time, Lions Watch will make its big return. Starting on the 2nd of May, we'll bring you new episodes every single Thursday, building up to the Euros and discussing all things England before the big kickoff on the 14th of June. So that's Lions Watch every single Thursday, beginning at the start of May. Subscribe to the Football Ramble so you never miss an episode from us. Are you excited, Luke Moore?
I am excited already, but Lions Watch serves a great purpose, a selfish purpose for me, because it really makes me really anticipatory for it. It's an amazing thing to build up towards. And a summer without a tournament isn't a full summer for me, so I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and also you get me on your own in the studio.
I do, which is, I don't let that stop me.
Privilege and honour.
It is. Oh, absolutely, Mark. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are many, many people who would love to sit at the right hand of such a...
You're at my left.
I am at your left. Maybe that's not on purpose. Uh-huh. But no, it's exciting because what I get to do is I get to talk to you about how I don't think England have got any chance, and I build up slowly towards the one before the end of the... before the tournament starts and go, I think we might do it. And then you get really excited and everyone else gets really excited apart from Scottish people who quite simply don't listen to it.
No, they don't.
They don't bother. They should though, because there's a lot of insight. Scotland might play England.
Yes.
You might want to hear how the enemy camp's doing. So you make sure you give us a listen. There's no excuse.
Very much so. Well, on to today's show. And now you might remember we recorded our last England special all the way back in November, just before England's win over Malta.
The big one.
And that stunning draw.
The bigger one.
With North Macedonia.
Yeah.
Of course, in that edition, we both picked our best 11 to start England's first game at the Euros. We're going to briefly remind ourselves of what those 11s were, and then, rather than go through them position by position all over again, we're going to address the talking points that have emerged since November and during this international break. And in the second half, we'll then answer a selection of your questions. Thank you very much for them. We had lots and lots of questions, but we've picked out the ones that were written by my family and friends.
No, there were quite a lot.
I mean,
sometimes you get seduced into thinking that people lose interest in football in international break happens.
Nonsense.
Not these guys.
Certainly not.
Not you guys out there.
No. Right, Luke, remind us of your 11.
Peter Shilton. Paul Parker.
Not all-time 11.
Mark Wright.
Come on.
Terry Butcher.
Come on.
Okay. So in November, I went for Jordan Pickford in goal.
Yes.
Kyle Walker, John Stones, Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw as the back four. Kelvin Phillips and Declan Rice, and Jude Bellingham, and then Bukayo Saka, Harry Kane, and Marcus Rashford. Mm. And you, I mean, you were similar to me, weren't you?
Yeah, I was the same, but Phil Foden on the left instead of Rashford. And I think I've won that argument.
You have, and I think you do get very sensitive about people hammering your England selection on Twitter. when we did those little graphics, when sometimes people would pick my team over yours, you'd get annoyed. You'd like text me about it and stuff.
That definitely happened. I camped outside your house with some of my supporters. But anyway.
But what it is an look, we sit here now in March. So December, January, February, March, 4 months later, and things change. Things do change. And we think of this England team as being quite a settled team, but in a way that can bring exciting young players through when it needs to, through things like injury and age and perhaps even the old suspension as well. It does really show you, those of you listening out there who listened back in November, how much things can change across 4 months of a Premier League season.
Oh, yeah.
Because things have changed now. And I think it's fair to say that if we were going to do it now, it wouldn't be quite the same.
I don't think it would be that far off.
It wouldn't be quite the same.
Wouldn't be quite.
Which is what I said.
That's what you said.
So is the key, are we saying the key areas of our defensive midfield, perhaps centre back, and then left side of, basically left wing, basically.
I think
we do defensive midfield first.
Let's do that then. So you said that it had to be Phillips alongside Rice back in November for the familiarity, and obviously Phillips wasn't playing that much then. We expected him to play a little more, and then he goes on loan, and we think, oh, that's good. And quite frankly, he's had a disaster at West Ham.
So
Calvin Phillips, he's played his way out of the team and the whole squad, quite frankly. The question,
Southgate's like, I prefer it when you weren't getting a game.
none of us knew, so we just had Calvin Phillips has played well for England and has got big tournament experience. That is something that he has. He didn't, he wasn't a starter as the World Cup would progress for England. Jordan Henderson became that player. It was Henderson, Rice and Bellingham in the midfield three. Southgate is loyal to players, but there does become a point where even Southgate says, look, I can't.
Well, he's not going to pick him. He's in the most recent squad. He was at the thing stand, unless he has an absolute barnstorming last part of the season, in which could happen, and he could force his way back in, because really Southgate's effectively saying to a player like Phillips, for the reasons you've just suggested, give me a reason to pick you and I'll pick you.
Yeah, and so it'll take something special for him to turn that around. At the current state of play, that seems unlikely.
Yeah, I would
so agree. I think we have to kind of let go of Calvin Phillips for the moment.
Yeah, now, like in Titanic, where he slides off the board and Kate Winslet lets Leonardo DiCaprio go.
Yeah, I mean,
what we're doing?
I think he was sort of going through natural causes, really. I think you can't blame Kate Winslet's character for that.
Were you shagging him in the car earlier, or you and Phillips?
Officially, no.
Okay. Southgate was for a bit.
Come on.
Okay.
Give Gareth,
it's an analogy. Once you start it, you've got to run with it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But the tabloids, you're very literal, aren't they? They don't do analogies.
Oh, the tabloids will be great this summer. Don't worry about that.
So, we said at the time, when talking about the England team, if there was any replacement, we thought it would be Conor Gallagher, which is not a dreadful shout because he started the game in that position against Brazil.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Southgate listened to us again. What do we think of that now, having seen Kobbie Mainoo in there and various other suggestions that have been made for that position?
So I've been on a bit of a journey with Gallagher. I kind of felt like, because obviously he started out where he started out and he went on loan to Palace and he looked pretty good, right? And you think, okay.
So, in an advanced role.
Yeah, and he was playing in a much more positive way and a bit further forward and he looked good. And he's like a great example of what is generally a pretty awful practice in modern football where really big teams have amazing players and they're not good enough to play for them, but they're still good enough to do really well at other Premier League teams, which is terrible, but I don't want to get away from that point. So Gallagher kind of did that. And I went through a phase of, once he went back, feeling like, I don't really know what he does, apart from the fact that he's good in the press. He's got legs for days. He's game. He's energetic. He's actually got a little bit of a habit of popping up.
He can produce moments, of course.
Yeah, moments. And so that's all fine. Mm. But I don't really know if he's well suited to playing. I know I appreciate he started it against Brazil. I don't think he was that good against Brazil. Mm-hmm. I don't think he did that good a job. And I wouldn't. The kind of overriding feeling I have when we talk about these kind of things is I ask myself, am I happy if we start a key game in a tournament with him in that position? And my answer is probably no. Mm-hmm. The answer is I'm not that happy about it.
England's midfield.
I'm concerned about it.
Yeah, England's midfield looked a lot more fluid against Belgium than it is.
Are you concerned
Brazil.
About it?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like to be massively concerned, but I think it wouldn't be the right call.
So the options are then.
Yeah.
You've got a variety of options, really. And I'll just go through them very quickly and we can discuss them, I suppose. So you can play Foden in there.
What, next to Rice?
He won't, but you could do that.
Yeah.
You could play Bellingham there.
Mm-hmm.
You could play Stones there. Mm-hmm. And you could play Henderson there.
Yeah, and...
Not all of them. That wouldn't be allowed.
Well...
Not at the same time.
Okay.
They probably would win if they did that, though.
Maybe. So you're changing the dynamic of the midfield. Now, my concern is that it puts a lot of pressure on Declan Rice if he was to have Bellingham and Foden in there, or Bellingham and Maddison, against big opposition.
I didn't say Maddison. I don't think Maddison's suited to that at all.
No, but he's in that... But it depends what you're talking about the midfield. So a lot of people don't want to play two behind Bellingham. They want Rice at the bottom and then two advanced.
Yeah.
Now, Southgate doesn't want that because he wants Bellingham to play like he did certainly early in the season for Real Madrid, where he is playing almost right up there with the front man to link that play.
Mm.
And against Brazil in particular, Bellingham, again, when they were pressing, it was like they had a front four almost.
He's the best player in the world, though. So that's probably why.
So Southgate is saying he's the best player in the world, so I want to play to his strengths that Real Madrid have been doing, and that's what I want to do, which I think is very understandable. If you play Bellingham like you do when England did at the Qatar World Cup, when you kind of play as he was then, a sort of a left side of that, in a more sort of number eight position, as we give numbers now, you then, I think someone like Gallagher would be a bit more at home doing that, as Jordan Henderson did in that role. I'm not saying we should play Henderson, by the way. But you lose perhaps a little something that Bellingham provides. So Southgate is there saying, no, he's the guy that I want to get everything in.
But it does mean you can play Foden centrally.
What, if you're playing Bellingham as a number 10?
No, you play Bellingham slightly deeper.
Oh, yeah, so...
And you can Foden could come off it and play his best position.
Could be Foden, could be Maddison. Yeah,
it's going to be Foden, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Foden will start off the left. So you've got... There's a few options there, but you've seen how defensively frail England can be, and I'm not sure. And also, Rice doesn't always do that for Arsenal. Rice can do that well, but he's also sometimes got Jorginho there, and he can get up as well. I think having that slightly more defensively minded player in there is the answer. I think Kobbie Mainoo is probably the answer. The one who, if he can come back injury wise, I do think it's interesting to talk or to mention Trent Alexander-Arnold. Now, he's due back in a week or two, and if that is the case, then he's got time to do that. I think he's an exciting player. People say defensively. Well, he's not just there defensively. I think he slots in and he's quite dynamic.
So I didn't list Alexander-Arnold or Mainoo because I still think it's too early for Mainoo. But I noticed on the show, kind of talked about it a bit yesterday, but the show I wasn't on earlier in the week, you guys have almost like completely vault fast on Mainoo. Went from like it's too early for him to he looked really good and so he should play.
Well, I understand.
And then you also said that you think he probably could start the opening game of the Euros.
Well, I didn't want to go too big on it on Monday's pod because I thought people are going to think I'm crazy after seeing him 15 minutes or whatever it was in the England shirt. When he came on, immediately I thought this guy should start. I honestly did. That was my sort of feeling of it. And I think Southgate will do that personally. I think he'll play him in the midfield. I think the idea of two behind Bellingham, you could play kind of almost like sort of Barcelona when they had, yes, I've said Barcelona, when they had sort of Xavi, Iniesta and Busquets.
Yeah.
It wasn't like one and two or two and one. It was, they were...
Arguably the greatest midfield trio to ever play the game.
They were creative midfield schemers, Luke.
Yeah, they were.
And I think that what you saw against Belgium, you saw Mainoo kind of going up a little bit, getting involved. Foden was coming inside as well. A dynamism to England's play that you don't often see. Again, Rice has to be disciplined. And so there's a lot on Rice's shoulders. An injury to Rice, I think, is as disastrous potentially as Kane getting injured. I think he's that important to England. So you've got to think about these things as well. So if Rice, you know, did need a bit of backup, who would it be? And you kind of wanted Calvin Phillips to be the guy. So you have to think of these things. I think, you know, you'd maybe ask Mainoo to be a little bit more disciplined. I don't know. So
you'd have... I mean, so basically one of the changes we're making then is that you would like to see Mainoo in there, essentially slotting in next to Rice, where Phillips did play.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't change anything else in that.
I would have Foden playing on the left wing.
But you had Foden on the left wing in the first when you put...
Yeah, no, I would still have him there.
But that's partly due, to the decline in consistency from Marcus Rashford, though, right?
No, I think it's because... Well, slightly, but actually it's more because of Foden's quality.
Here's the thing about Foden. I think when you have someone like Bellingham who's so good, there's two kind of schools of thought. One is you say... He's the best player in the world, arguably, so you play him in his best position. Or you say, he's so good, he can be brilliant really anywhere. And if it means you unlock a little bit of potential from one or two other really talented players, maybe you ask him in games where England can afford to be a bit more attacking, you ask him to play deeper and bring Foden into the middle. Because mm-hmm. Foden says over and over again, basically every fucking interview he does, mm-hmm. he says, I want to play in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm best in the middle. If I play, really, when he plays off the left, Foden, he's really looking for an excuse to come into the middle. Mm-hmm. And the reason he pulls people all over the place is because he's got amazing quality. But
sometimes you've got to ask players to do a job, like Mourinho did with Samuel Eto'o, playing him on the right wing and all this sort of
but
stuff.
But he's never hit the touchline once in his whole career, Foden. Yeah, he's not a winger. So is it not an argument to be said that says you can have someone with a little bit more pace and traditional wing
player.
So what's
your midfield player? Three then, against a big side? I'm not interested.
Well, that's not what I've said. I've just said against a team that England can afford to be a bit more attacking.
Okay, fine. But it's really, we're talking about the big games. That's what England, they're one of the favourites for the tournament. They've gone deep in tournaments recently. England should beat Serbia, Denmark and Slovenia. Probably won't end up like that. Could have a disaster. You know what tournaments are like. You'd never know. But they should beat those teams. So if you go for Foden or whoever in the middle, that's really not the concern here. What we're trying to drill down is, okay, they're in the knockout rounds if they play Germany, buoyed by the home crowd, France, Portugal, these types of sides.
I think as we sit here right now, I think I would probably play the midfield three of in the middle of Rice, Bellingham and Foden.
So you would give the people what they want?
And I would just use another option off the left. And you've got quite a lot of options off the left.
Mm.
So you could. It gives you a lot more flexibility, I think. But I think it is too early for him. So I wouldn't pick to play Mainoo. I think if he had an extra kind of, maybe an extra 6 months or so, maybe I would. But I'm not annoyed that Mainoo plays.
Yeah, sure.
I'll be fine.
Look, there's a lot of people who will agree with you.
He needs to be given the opportunity. I mean, you don't know what his ceiling is yet because he hasn't tried it.
There's a lot of people who will be very pleased with what you've said there. Absolutely. My concern is that, again, who is the kind of backup player for Rice? And Southgate's got to find somebody because you do need somebody who can go in there and do a job.
What about the defence then?
Yeah, so let's talk about the defence. So Maguire has his critics. We know that. He looked a bit shaky against Brazil. Dunk has come in and has not had a good time of it this window. It's very fair to say. I was backing Joe Gomez to play in the centre. Southgate's not going to do that. And Gomez
it's quite
has
weird that he's not going to do that.
Well, because he doesn't really play that much for Liverpool there. I think Gomez can still be a great centre-half. I really, really do. But he's played him on the flanks and
majority of his work's been left-back and
even,
right-back.
And even when he had the chance to put him in the centre, he put Konsa in the centre instead.
Yeah.
So Konsa's one who could maybe play back-up. But Stones is still England's best centre-back. I don't think many people would argue with that. I think Maguire will play. And to be honest with you, like, do you... Would you kind of think, no, it's got to be someone else. I want to see Stones and Konsa starting in the Euros, or even Stones and Dunk, although I'd be surprised if you wanted to say...
I've got no beef with Lewis Dunk. He's had an amazing career, 32 now, isn't he?
Well, yeah.
He's played brilliantly in the Premier League. He gets a lot of the ball under De Zerbi. He seems to be able to affect games at that level.
Starting for England.
No, he's not going to start for England. I think part of the reason he's not going to start for England, and it's going to sound like a criticism, but it doesn't mean to be, and you can also apply it to Konsa as well, is that these players just haven't been given the chance to feature. Like, Southgate's been so loyal to Maguire, and maybe that's an admirable quality, and maybe that's part of the squad harmony they want, and he wants to shepherd some players through difficult times, and I get all that. But there was a time, perhaps unfairly, you would maybe say, where Maguire was under so much pressure mm-hmm. and he wasn't performing that well. And that would have been the time to say, okay, my priority here as England manager is to get England to win stuff. Therefore, that player's playing brilliantly. I want to try him. And he hasn't really done that. Mm-hmm. And now what's happened is we're in a position as England fans looking at a Konsa or a Dunk and saying, well, it's just too late. It's too late anyway. The understanding Stones and Maguire will have between each other, despite Maguire's shortcomings and Stones' occasional shortcomings as well, to be fair, it's just so probably innate by now that it seems a little bit farcical to break it up.
Mm.
That's the position we're in. And Southgate's made that bed. And it may well be that if they flunk it this summer mm-hmm. and Southgate moves on, he may look back at that and say, actually, that's something I could have done differently.
But Lewis Dunk has 5 England caps. I'm pretty sure Harry Maguire had 5 England caps going into World Cup 2018. I mean, Dunk played in the game against Scotland. Gay started that game.
Harry Maguire would have been about 24 then, though. So he's an improving player. He's a player who not that long ago moved to Man United and was playing at the highest level.
Fine.
Lewis Dunk's 32, mate.
Yes, so you said that he'd not been given a chance. I don't see if you play Lewis Dunk time and time again, his pace is not going to improve. Is he going to seriously improve?
No, but that's not what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. I said there was a time when Maguire, however many years ago it was mm-hmm. under incredible amounts of pressure. It might have only been about a year ago, mm-hmm. right? At that point, if he had wanted to, mm-hmm. Southgate could have said, he's dropped off too much, the pressure's too high, mm-hmm. we've got to move past him at some point anyway because he's in his 30s now, let's try someone else.
Yeah,
but
fine.
He didn't do that.
Fine, so I'm trying to drill down who that may be. I don't think it's Dunk. I think we can park
it. Well, it could have been Konsa. Well, Konsa's been good for ages.
No, the person he wanted was Mark Gay.
It could have been Gay.
And Gay's got injured. So he did give Gay a bit of a chance, but unfortunately Gay's got an injury, which seems an absolute stinker. You know, I mean, to be fair to Southgate, you know, he has had big injuries in the side. Now, Gay is due
back.
That's
just part of modern football now.
Yeah, of course it is, but you know, he's due back early May. Luke Shaw's back mid-May.
That's a more interesting discussion.
So the left side of defence, you know, Ben Chilwell played twice in the recent international break, and people were pretty unconvinced by him. He's missed a lot of games through injury himself. Now, Chilwell's ceiling is higher than what he showed in those two games, I think. You know, I think previously it was always like, oh, Chilwell and Shaw. I think most people probably went for Shaw.
At his best, he can do it all. The sad thing about Ben Chilwell is, as you mentioned there, just to put a bit more of a finer point on there, I think he's missed something like 120 games in his career through injury.
Yeah.
He's always had injuries, even when he was at Leicester very early on. Missed a lot of games through injury. And the problem is, it becomes not a question of age. It becomes a question of miles on the clock. It doesn't matter what his age is. He feels like he's really going from hamstring injury to hamstring injury to hamstring injury off the back of a serious knee injury, and it takes its toll. You know, you look at the performance level and the consistency of say Kyle Walker. It's not just that Kyle Walker's brilliant and he's really quick. He's just always available.
Oh, yeah.
And given he's such an impactful, high impact player like in terms of his pace and his explosiveness. He's a bit of a medical marvel, really. But on the other side, the sad thing is England have had two really good options at left back. Mm-hmm. And both of them have had issues with injuries where they've not been able to play consistently to the point where, you know, it's not that long ago England were having to play like Trippier out of position there because they had no one available, right? So Chilwell, I don't want to damn the guy because it seems harsh, but based on what we've seen and as we sit here now, he just looks a little bit like a shot player. Mm. And Chelsea have had a difficult season as well.
Well, he could be a little bit of match fitness you know, issues there and so on. So maybe there is a chance for Chilwell, and I think he would go if this is the current state of play. Shaw's a shame because Shaw will be back, if all being well, what the prediction is kind of mid-May. Manchester United would have two games left of the Premier League. One of them's against Arsenal. You couldn't imagine him being chucked in there. England then have two warm-up games for the Euros. It's getting a little bit...
It's tight, but you could see, all things being well, you could see him do half an hour against Arsenal. You could see him start the other Man United game. I don't know who it's against off the top of my head. That Man United season may well be settled by then anyway. And you could see him feature half an hour in each of those two warm-ups and perhaps start the second group game.
Maybe.
He might be there.
Well, what we want is Ten Hag to do a solid for the guy who may replace him.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying. Yeah. That's what we want.
I don't think we should talk about Gareth Southgate as Man United manager on this show.
Do you think Kieran Trippier could go as a cover for left back?
That's what he's done in the past. As Kieran Trippier seems to have got past that really difficult period he had for Newcastle, where he just like he needed a rest. He seems to have kind of got past that now. Mm-hmm. I think the problem with England is you know, weirdly enough, they've got this strange combination of being quite a cautious team, which I know annoys people, and we'll come on to that. And also looking quite defensively frail as well. Yeah. It's almost like Gareth Southgate seems like he needs to have the system so solid because of the frailties he's got elsewhere. Mm. And then you've got to factor into the mix. We talked about Stone stepping into midfield. It looks like it leaves you very, very light at the back.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. He can't afford to do that, can he?
No, well, he would have done it by now.
Stones can do that, though.
Yeah, but he's not going to for England because he's needed in defence, clearly. So with all that in mind, what edits would you make to your England 11? You've always kind of said that, but if, you know, Luke Shaw's not fit, one or two others aren't, those who we think will be fit, say like Trippier's going to, you know, bounce back.
I don't know
the extent of Carl Walker's injury, no. So you can have a bit of play with some of the injured players.
What I've got here is I've got Pickford, Walker, Stones, Maguire. Mm-hmm. I would take a gamble on Shaw.
Right.
I would, given the timelines we've been told. Okay. I think you can only go with the information you've been given.
Okay.
I'll take a gamble on him. I think he can get some minutes. And also, I think that, you know, really, I mean, you're talking about group stage. England are playing against teams who aren't as good as them. So, I mean, that's part of it. Rice, Bellingham, Foden.
Off the left.
Who am I playing off the left?
Yeah.
You like this one?
Go on.
You'll like it.
Tom Kearney. He's played for Scotland.
Damn. Great left peg, though. That left peg should be enjoyed by more than one nation.
Correct.
Gordon.
Anthony Gordon.
I think you could do Gordon, Saka and Kane.
I like that.
I think what Southgate might do is I think he might say, Rashford, you've done enough to have my trust. The biggest criticism of you has been that you sometimes look a bit uninterested in Common or Garden, Man United home games or whatever.
Yeah,
you're not going to do that for England. Mm-hmm. You've provided some good moments for England. Mm-hmm. It's not good, despite the season he's had. It's not outrageous for me to say to you, Rashford could score in every group game in the Euros.
Yeah,
he could do that. Yeah. So I would be interested in Rashford off the left, but
Anthony Gordon then provides a little bit more defensive cover on that side.
But because I'm
doing his doggies, and with that midfield, you could argue that.
This is the thing. So to go very very briefly before I pass to you, what I like about Gordon. One, there's two quite old-fashioned points here. He gets through so much work. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about Shaw perhaps needing a bit of help, it's a little bit of experiment. It's a bit of experimental. It's a little bit of a gamble. But Gordon is, he will fucking be up and down all day long. Mm-hmm. And he'll be so excited to play for England. So that's point number one. Point number two is, there is still room for a bit of an unknown quantity in tournament football.
Mm.
Gordon brings that. And he's had a really good season. Mm. Like it's a shame that his season hasn't coupled with the season before this one with Newcastle's quality. Mm. Both together, I mean, he probably would start for England. I don't think it's outrageous to say, do you know what? We've got so much quality. Give him a go.
You're not thinking back from injuries, Jack Grealish?
No, I think he's miles off it.
Okay, fair enough.
What about you?
I'd have, similar. I would swap out. I would put in Mainoo, and I'd have Foden on the left flank. But if Luke Shaw is not available, which is quite possible, I think I would go for Ben Chilwell. Because, player with enormous experience, I think he's got time to kind of improve and get more games under his belt, more minutes, all that kind of stuff. So I would go for Ben Chilwell if Shaw's not there.
Yeah, okay, fine.
And Ivan Toney and Harry Kane up front.
Well, we can talk about that. We can talk about them in a bit.
Yeah, right, let's go for a quick break. Coming up in the second half, we've got your questions, everybody. We'll see you in a moment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Now it's time to tackle some of your questions. But before we do that, Luke Moore You ran a poll on Twitter to discover whether the nation backs Gareth Southgate to get the best out of the team this summer.
Yeah, the reason I did that is because you and I just had a quick chat before we were planning this episode and talked about how the feeling on Southgate, you said to me that it's gone south in quite a big way. Now, despite the successes, if you want to call them that, that Southgate's had as the head coach at England, there has always been like a negative undertone to it. Partly, in my opinion, is partly because England fans can be very, very entitled and forget pretty easily the shit that's happened. Mm. But I was kind of, I wasn't sure if it was as pronounced as you were saying it was. Like you were saying, yeah, loads of people out there just don't really like Southgate.
I think before, it was kind of going into the World Cup, it was the Euros, it was kind of like, there was that thing trending on Twitter, two defensive midfielders and all that.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably 70-30 in his favour. I think at the World Cup, we started to see it go to sort of 60-40, 50-50. And now, the poll, you'll
yeah, reveal. Well, listen, let me tell you what it is now. And I'll let people know the exact question because I worded it quite carefully. I said in the Twitter poll, and bear in mind, these are Ramble listeners. Like, this is not like, you know, The Sun. Mm. The Ramble listeners are cleverer than people who get most of their football stuff from The Sun, right? So I think our listenership is pretty good in terms of that type of thing. Do you have confidence in Gareth Southgate to get the absolute maximum out of this England squad's potential at Euro 2024? So it's a bit of interpretation there. What do you think they could do? Maybe, you know, I didn't put, do you think England are going to win? Because it's more difficult than that.
Yeah.
The results were 78% of people who polled thought that England, that Gareth Southgate couldn't get the maximum out of that squad. 22% said yes.
Yeah.
And that's a 24-hour poll with about an hour before it closes. So the results aren't really going to change. There's thousands of people who have answered it. I think that's astonishing that over three in four people don't trust Southgate to get the most out of this team.
Yeah.
Some of the facts are that England under Southgate have won more tournament knockout games under him than they had in the last like 60 years put together or something.
I think England have won, I think it was working out this other day, they've won 9 knockout games before Southgate, and Southgate's won 7.
Yeah, so nearly, in their history.
Yeah, there's this idea that I think that people, I'm not saying this about our listeners, I'm talking about specifically people who I've been chatting to about this and from what I've been hearing elsewhere, who the vast majority are not Ramble listeners. And I think that a lot of people, a bit like with some of the criticism Maguire got, I understand why, you know, Maguire's got a rick in him, we know that. But as Southgate himself says, this is just joke levels now. You know, it was mentioned in one of the African countries' parliaments and all this kind of stuff. It was ridiculous. It went way over the top. And I think with Southgate, I understand people might have a bit of criticism there because no one is immortal. But I think that it is something that some types of football fans say to try and sound like they know what they're talking about. Now that is a massive dig, and some people, I don't mean it to be like that. Because I've done it before with certain opinions. Hopefully, I don't still do that. We all have it, and I think that a lot of people, and some people, will be very annoyed to hear me say that. And again, that's not aimed at anyone. There's a feeling, and I think people go, what a thing about England. It's almost a bit like, well, the reason why I don't think we'll win because we'll bugger it up. Like, you know, when with certain fans, we always bugger it up. I think it's not a case of, no. I think it's the ire has been turned on the manager. I think there's a lot of revisionism with Southgate of, well, we should have won a trophy by now.
Mm.
And I think that is, it's the Euros final we spoke about on the mailbag. You know, that's hopefully won't come back to haunt Southgate because hopefully England can win this tournament in the summer. But I think that's probably the feeling. So yes, the poll results speak for themselves. Hopefully Sir Gareth can prove them all wrong.
But so beyond what you just said there, is there anything else you want to chuck in the mix of how you explain that ill feeling?
I think the ill feeling is
because we're off the back of two.
I think the Phil Foden question is. I think people look at some of the talent England have, and this is a good England squad. I don't think it's a brilliant England squad. I don't think it's as good as say what you know Sven had back in those days. I think it was more balanced there and so on. So previous managers have come along and not got the best out of England teams before, but since probably about 2006, you would probably say it's the best squad we've had. And I think people want to see England win every single time and win well. And as we know, that's just not going to happen. I mean, even the great Spain sides, when they won the three tournaments, you know, in Euro 2012, which was probably the best one, they won the final 4-0 for crying out loud. They didn't need a penalty shootout in there. Mm. You know, in a pretty stodgy game against Portugal, I think it was.
Yeah.
So again, the idea of always winning with flair. But I think that the idea that England... I think the criticism of Southgate with the substitutions, I think, is fair. And I think that he is a little bit more conservative, but so is Didier Deschamps. And France have got to, what, is it three finals under him? I say three finals because it sounds better than winning one major tournament.
Yeah.
But still, and I think that sometimes the managers at international level can only do so much. And the reason why we talk about the good vibes and the good feeling is that is such an important part of it.
Something you can control, yeah, you can generate.
Exactly, yeah. and that sort of really gets everybody going. So the idea that, you know, you have a 38-game Premier League season and you'll be judged on this and the best team wins it and da-da-da-da-da, there's more factors than that. So, yes. Shall we get on with the questions?
Yeah, so just a bit of a shame going into a tournament that that's how people feel. I hope they still get behind the team because it's important.
Yeah. Well, this from CJ says, how can England get better at beating the bigger teams? Fair question.
Well, presumably he or she means in the tournaments themselves rather than kind of these kind
well,
of...
Well, not either, you know.
Well, yeah, but I think again.
Okay, well, let's drill down to the tournament. Yeah. How do England basically win the games they need to win to go all the way and win the damn thing?
Well, they kind of. I mean, how far away were they from winning the Euros before? A penalty shootout.
Yeah, but the manner of the game, people would look back on that and be disappointed that the substitutions were a bit. You know, he was a bit ponderous on that. They weren't on the front foot. They kind of went into themselves. They suddenly thought, "Oh yeah, we're England. We don't really know how to keep the ball."
But do you think they did think that? Or do you think that
they reverted to type in the final, yeah.
Yeah, they did a bit.
And that's a problem. They didn't have Jude Bellingham, or Phil Foden was injured, actually. I think people were saying, oh, it would be nice to have Foden, I think, was injured for the final. They didn't have some of these players that we want to come in and go, right, we're like one of the continental sides now.
But they, in that tournament, they beat Germany easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a missed chance.
They beat Germany easily.
They were the better side, yeah.
Yeah, it was well worth a 2-0 win.
Yeah, my butterflies didn't think it was easy.
No, but that's because of your history and how old you are and how we feel about stuff. But that, ultimately, they were the far better team against Germany.
Fine, they beat Germany.
So,
yeah.
So the point is, ultimately, if you take the last two tournaments, a big moment that hinges on against France in the World Cup is the missed penalty from Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Right, that's a big moment.
That's Southgate's fault.
But it's just a moment. Mm. It's just a moment. I mean, who knows what would have happened elsewhere? Right, I mean, that would have been different. And Harry Kane isn't someone who has a big fucking terrible record at penalties. I mean, he's a pretty solid penalty taker for England.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a moment. And moments happen to, by the way, you know, spoiler alert to everyone listening to this who supports England. These moments happen to all these teams.
Yeah.
All these teams are fucking disappointments.
How long has it been since Brazil got to a World Cup semi-final?
How bad have Germany been, you know, in recent years? You know, so there's all that stuff that comes into it. I look at an England team as objectively as I can. Obviously, it's not as easy as that because I am an England fan. And I say, well, really, a big percentage of the teams we've been put up against in knockout games under Southgate, we've kind of won them. Whether it be Denmark, whether it be Ukraine, whether it be Germany, whether it be whoever, they got knocked out by Croatia in 2018 when they're at the very start of their cycle and no one thought they could do a fucking thing.
And that Croatia side was a good Croatia.
They were good. And England were tired. And that happens. It was a young team and all the rest of it. They were a penalty shootout away from winning against Italy and winning the Euros. Mm. And they got knocked out by a France team who is the best team around has been for the last few years with an astonishing amount of talent. Well, and England went toe-to-toe with them, by the way.
Well, they did. And I think...
I don't think it's that bad.
No, I don't think it's that bad at all. I think this is the thing that England fans just... And I understand why, because it's this... It's the yearning to win. It's the yearning to kind of go, do you know what? We played them and we bloody beat them and we beat them. But the thing is against France is we can talk about... So what will happen is if you're in a pub talking about this, you'd say, yeah, but they went toe-to-toe with them. Yeah, but it was... you know, Harry Kane penalty was... And there was a moment where France wobbled and even a couple of Southgate haters that I play football with were like, in that 10 or 5 minute period when France wobbled, they were like, oh my goodness, I think we might win the World Cup. Right, when all said and done, England lose the game.
Yeah.
And I think that that's it. People just can't get past that. But I think, I agree with you, I think it's a bit harsh. But the thing is, England have a chance this summer to do this now. But they've got to go and do it. And that is, people are just not, I think they've been jaded so much in the past that when it comes to the crunch, i.e. going all the way and getting the hand on the trophy, they haven't done it. So how can they beat the better teams? I think with composure, not panicking. They showed a bit of that against France, but they've got to take the moments. I know that sounds basic.
They've got to believe as well.
Exactly.
You have to look at that.
I don't think it's a tactical. But I don't think it's all right. They need to push that man up there, maybe the subs. You know, if you look at the Euros final, you think the game's getting away from us here. Right, let's make a sub and try and be positive or try and do something. That's where I agree with Southgate coming up short.
But they had a game off against United States in the group. They won the other two games. They blew Senegal to bits.
And they were the African champions, Senegal, and no mugs. People think, oh, it's an easy one. And that's the thing in this England thing. Oh, well, of course we beat Senegal 3-0. What do you mean, of course you beat Senegal 3-0?
Yeah.
That's where we are. Yeah. That's what Southgate's done with the side. And,
and they're on the end of two difficult ones against France and Italy.
Yeah.
So look, next question from the Crooked Tapper Comb.
My goodness.
Good name. If Harry Kane isn't fit come the Euros, what do you think of playing a false nine?
As Vish said the other day, I think we just go home.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Bellingham's your man if you're talking about that.
But they're not going to do that.
No, they're going to play Tony.
So it's a complete academic. They'll play Tony.
Do you think Tony's the man then after what we saw from Watkins?
Watkins, I'll stand by what I said. Watkins had a much better season. Watkins deserves a lot more than he's getting. He's just coming up alongside a generationally brilliant forward in Harry Kane, who always seems to be available. But Tony's better suited to Kane's role than Watkins is. Mm-hmm. Tony is more that type of player. And we said it on the show yesterday, you know, against Belgium. He does a kind of quite a Kane thing, really. It's almost like a Kane tribute where he targets a kind of slow defender, gets off the back of him, wins a penalty, takes a penalty himself, and it's like, what are you worried about? Yeah. That's what Kane kind of does.
It was brilliant.
So I wouldn't be... I think a lot of people kind of misunderstood what I was saying when I talked about Watkins and Tony a month or so ago. What I was actually saying was, if you're going to set your stall out and talk about players performing, Watkins is, you know, outside of, Watkins is probably the best English centre forward in the Premier League. Like, his numbers would suggest that. And he's done everything he can. So for people to say, oh yeah, but Tony this and Tony that, Tony's not been in the conversation for a year. Mm. So we have to at least make that point. But Tony's come in. He's taken advantage of what you have to do. He's done what you have to do in football at the top level. Mm-hmm. He's taken advantage of a player not being available, and he's taken his chance. So I imagine they'll just play Tony, and that'll be that.
Yeah. This one from Robbie. Which players do you think could be doing their swan song for England this summer? So we're basically thinking they would play or be in the squad this Euros, but then the World Cup in 2026, they're not going to be in that, and this will be the last tournament.
Basically. Henderson is probably an obvious one.
Yeah. Kyle Walker's 33.
Walker probably. But he defies belief.
He does. Trippier's 33. I think Trippier could be one who might fall into that.
Yeah, those are the three standout ones, I would say.
Yeah.
Possibly Rico Lewis. okay, what about this from Callad? You've got five players to take penalties.
Oh, blimey.
Who are you picking?
Tony. Kane. Oh, you've got to think of those who will be on the pitch.
Yeah, I've got seven for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, those who could be subs as well and come on. Yeah, so I'd have Tony, Kane, Rashford, I think is fair to say he would be in there. Saka does take penalties.
Yeah.
So I'd probably have Saka in there, although just, again, I mean, I know Rashford missed in the same shootout, but I would be, blimey, it makes me feel ill almost thinking about all that. And who would be my fifth? I don't think Foden takes many penalties. Bellingham, I think, because he would step up. I think he's that type.
I've got Kane, Bellingham, Saka, Rice, Foden, Watkins, and Tony.
Rice was another one, actually. Yeah. I thought he's again that type of player.
Well, Rice strikes the ball so well.
Yeah, yeah,
and he's the kind of guy who rises to that type of moment, isn't he?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. So my question to you, if we can finish the show with one of mine, if that's okay,
of course, yeah.
Is if both are on the pitch, which would seem very unlikely, but both are on the pitch, Tony and Kane, and England get a very crucial penalty.
Kane will take it.
But who would you rather? The reason why I'm going to say Tony is because in the big moments, Kane has actually missed two penalties for England. He missed against Denmark in the semi-final. Got the rebound,
yeah.
But he did miss.
Yeah, he missed against France. Yeah, look, I mean, it's a really good question. It's also very unlikely to happen. I just don't see if England are trying to do something and Southgate's trying to roll the dice, he's not going to bring on Tony when Kane's on there. He's going to bring on Watkins.
Yeah.
And Watkins, by the way, is a good penalty taker.
Yeah.
So I don't mind Tony taking. Tony's a brilliant penalty taker, so I'll be fine with that. But the thing is, realistically, it's quite hard to get yourself in that mindset because realistically, he's not going to out-trump Kane.
Mm.
On the pitch, Kane is going to be the penalty taker.
Yeah.
And he might miss again. And then we'll maybe start to ask questions. But you know, some of the great players, like Lionel Messi's not a brilliant penalty taker for some reason.
Well, he was in the World Cup, though, for Argentina.
Yeah, but it's weird. Overall, it's weird how his record isn't as good as you think it would be. So it's kind of feels like a completely different game within a game. But if we're in a situation where England are getting a penalty in a crucial game, I'm very happy anyway. I'd take that all day long.
Yeah, you would. You would.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We're back tomorrow with the preview show. Do follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast apps. Yeah, so it's been a pleasure talking to you with regards to England and the state of play and so on. But do remember that Lions Watch will be making its big return on the 2nd of May as we count the weeks into the Euros, of course.
Yeah, get your questions in. We've had loads already. We've got a big spreadsheet full of them now, so we'll get through as many as we can, but we'll do the most relevant ones. So do send your questions in ahead of the 2nd of May and we'll start to get you involved in the show as well.
Not far off, everybody.
Oh, I feel it in my bones.
Come on.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.